Live, on air, online, and on the Highland Radio app, this is Highland Radio News.
It's 5:30. This is the evening news on Highland Radio with Donal Kavanagh. In this bulletin, an emergency motion concerning the R236 in St Johnstone couldn't proceed at a meeting of Lifford Stranorra Municipal District today because of logistical issues arising from the remote nature of the meeting. We'll have the latest from the Middle East, including a strike on an Iranian warship which has left 80 dead. We'll also hear from the Dáil this afternoon. And Ishka Éireann says two water supplies in West Donegal have been removed from the EPA's list of vulnerable supplies. It follows what Ishka Éireann says is a multi-million euro investment in Glenties, Ardra and Letchimac Award. Later in the bulletin, Mark's here with sports news. That's coming up at around 6:15. But we begin with a meeting of Lifford Stranorra Municipal District earlier today. The meeting took place online and an emergency motion concerning the R236 in St Johnstone couldn't proceed at the meeting because of logistical issues arising out of its remote nature. Councillor Gary Doherty says he will pursue the matter again at the next available opportunity. He says the motion followed last week's tragedy on the road in which two teenagers lost their lives when the car in which they were passengers was in collision with a lorry. He wants to see action taken and regrets that the motion couldn't be progressed today.
Last week our community was left absolutely devastated by the tragic loss of two men on the R236 through St Johnstone, and my thoughts and the thoughts of everyone locally are first and foremost with the families and loved ones of the two men who lost their lives, and obviously the young man who is still fighting his injuries. But tragedies like this also force us to look honestly at the road itself and ask whether more could be done to make it safer. And as we know, that road runs straight through the heart of St Johnstone Village, and people locally have been raising concerns about traffic speeds there for quite some time. And this motion that I wanted to bring today, asking for traffic calming measures, isn't about blame, it's about prevention. And if there are practical measures that can slow traffic and protect pedestrians and motorists, then I think we have a duty to examine them.
Am I right in saying it was a logistics issue because of the remote nature of the meeting, which is why the motion wasn't able to go through today?
Where the difficulty arose this morning was that the standing orders state that an emergency motion must be signed by at least three members of the municipal district and be submitted prior to 12 o'clock on the morning of a meeting. And now, unfortunately, I had submitted that via email because we are required in Lifford Stranorra to meet remotely. But unfortunately, another elected member took issue with this. But I will absolutely be submitting this motion to the next meeting.
And that was Councillor Gary Doherty. To the Middle East now, and a US submarine has struck an Iranian warship in the Indian Ocean. It's reported 80 people were killed in that attack. The assault on Iran has been continuing. Israeli forces are also targeting Hezbollah militants in Lebanon. The Israeli Defense Force says it's destroyed scores of sites from where missiles were being launched, adding Iran's military is being decimated. Tehran has threatened to hit Israeli embassies around the world if it attacks the Iranian embassy in Beirut. Well, the US Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, today refused to be drawn on a timeline for the conflict.
You can say 4 weeks, but it could be six, it could be eight, it could be three. Ultimately, we set the pace and the tempo. The enemy is off balance, and we're going to keep them off balance. And we know their ability to shoot versus our ability to defend, that difference gets wider and wider every day. Our defense gets better, their offense capabilities diminish.
Well, the impact of the conflict is being felt here. There was much discussion on it in the Dáil today. The government isn't setting a benchmark for petrol and diesel prices to rise to before it decides to intervene, the Dáil was told. Some petrol stations have already increased prices to over €2 a litre in response to the war in the Middle East. It's led to calls for taxes on fuels to be cut to help consumers. Well, Minister Jack Chambers says they'll monitor the increases.
I'm not going to set a threshold or a price point and speculate around that. What I'm saying is there are no plans to make an intervention on the basis of something that has evolved in recent days. We've already said we'll continue to assess this.
Well, according to oilprices.ie, the average price for 500 litres in Donegal is now over €700. Today saw an increase of 88.60 to 706.51. It marks a 41% increase in oil prices since Sunday, when the average price for 500 litres was €502.43. The Labour Party is accusing the government of being a bystander when it comes to the issue of energy costs. Leader Ivana Bacik says price caps should be introduced to help families who are desperately trying to heat their homes.
Households in Ireland, Taoiseach, need a government that intervenes when costs spiral, not a bystander government, a government that shrugs. No one expects you to end world war. But Taoiseach, will you act decisively to support people who are up against the wall?
Thank you, Deputy.
And will you intervene to support those who are struggling in a cost of living crisis?
Taoiseach. Well, the Taoiseach says they will keep any further changes to the carbon tax under review for now. Micheál Martin said there are supports available if people are struggling with their fuel costs.
In terms of any further measures, we will keep that under review. We will look at this in the broader sense, not going to focus in on any particular measure in terms of, you've mentioned carbon tax and so on, but we're not going to pull the rug from under farmers, we're not going to pull the rug from
time
under
is up,
those
Taoiseach.
Who
Thank
are
you.
Retrofitting, and we're not
time
pulling the rug from
Deputy
under those
MacDonald,
who depend on
please.
The free fuel
well,
grants.
While 50,000 more families will receive the fuel allowance payment from next week, as outlined in the budget, the scheme will now be expanded to include those in receipt of the working family payment. The measure comes into effect next week. It'll be backdated to January. That means families will receive up to €380 on the 12th of March. Over 470,000 households are now being supported by that allowance. That's according to a statement from the government this afternoon. The Department of Foreign Affairs says it's working to identify the most vulnerable Irish people currently stranded in the Middle East. It's planning to bus at least 280 people to Oman, where a chartered flight is set to leave for Ireland later this week. Any vulnerable citizens, including elderly people or those with medical conditions who haven't yet been contacted, are being asked to call a liaison team in Dublin. The Foreign Affairs Minister, Helen McEntee, says airports in the UAE are currently not facilitating any chartered flights.
I appreciate the vast majority of our population trying to get out are in Abu Dhabi and Dubai. No other country, including ourselves, have been able to actually charter flights getting out of those airports. So we would be busing people to Oman, and there's different reports as to how long it's taking, depending on delays at the border, between 6 and 8 hours. That is a long journey for people, but that is the only other airport that we have access to.
Other news now, and Ishke Aaron says two water supplies in West Donegal have been removed from the EPA's list of vulnerable supplies. It follows a multi-million euro investment in Glenties Ardra and Letchamack Award. With more, here's Donna Marie Doherty.
Ishke Aaron says the project has delivered a significant and long-lasting boost to drinking water security and safety in West Donegal, with the Glenties Ardra and Letchamack Award water supplies now removed from the Environmental Protection Agency's list of vulnerable water supplies. It follows a €30 million investment to upgrade and modernise both water treatment plants. The utility says an €18.3 million upgrade at Naglanta Ard and Raha Water Treatment Plant has delivered major enhancements to the facility, benefiting more than 3,650 customers. The project involved the modernisation of treatment processes, the installation of new pressure filter tanks and a membrane treatment system, upgraded control and monitoring equipment and improvements to on-site operational infrastructure. In addition, a €12 million investment to the Letchamack Award treatment plant, which serves more than 3,000 customers, has seen a major upgrade of the existing plant and the construction of a new water main connecting to the source of the treatment facility.
The HSE's youth mental health lead has apologised to young people who haven't received the standard of care they should expect. Earlier this month, a North Kerry CAMHS review found a risk of potential harm in 209 cases. HSE representatives attended an Oireachtas committee today to discuss the issues with access to child and adolescent mental health services at its core. Clinical lead for youth mental health, Dr. Amanda Burke, was one of those in attendance. She said the review has reinforced the importance of addressing waiting lists.
The report sets out how many young people who attended this team at this time were failed by the mental health services that were provided to them. On behalf of the HSE, I wish to apologise to any young person or child who has not received the standard of care they should expect.
Donegal County Council has officially taken charge of three housing estates in East Donegal. Those are Drumore Park in Killigordon, Hazelwood Drive in Lifford and Ardtumra in Convoy. Members of the public can now contact the County Council directly regarding matters such as public lighting, roads, sewage and storm drains. There was an increase of over 1% in the amount of tax collected by the state in the first 2 months of the year. Income tax receipts increased by 5.5%. 1.4% to €6 billion, according to the latest Exchequer returns. A deficit of €1.8 billion was recorded, reflecting transfers to two funds. Spending is up more than 5% to €17.5 billion. The Finance Minister, Simon Harris, says the income tax figure is a reflection of the strength of the economy. Detectives in the north investigating the disappearance and murder of County Down woman Lisa Dorian have arrested a man. The 25-year-old was last seen alive at a caravan party in Ballyhalbert 21 years ago. Her body has never been found. With more, here's Chloe St. John.
Police say a 40-year-old man was arrested in Mullyle earlier on suspicion of assisting offenders and withholding information. It comes after a man and woman were recently arrested on suspicion of offences including murder, but were later released on bail. The latest arrest comes just days after the 21st anniversary of Lisa's disappearance.
Donegal County Council is being urged to ensure that the continuation of the Buncrana Inner Relief Road is made its main priority after the 10T roads project commences. The calls come from Inishowen Municipal District, which had a lengthy discussion on the need to continue the Inner Relief Road works. The meeting was told by Councillor Fionnán Bradley that it's not clear exactly where they are in terms of moving the project on. Councillor Bradley says even if the amount allocated to the project was four times what was received this year, it wouldn't be near enough to recommence. This year, €30,000 has been allocated for works. Councillor Bradley says it needs to be in the millions. He says as well as addressing traffic pressures and opening up land for housing in Buncrana, moving on with this work would also ensure other road projects in Inishowen and elsewhere are bumped up the priority list. Councillor Bradley says it's vital that this moves on.
The standard response seems to be that the statutory consents aren't in place, that the design phase hasn't been gone through, that the CPOs haven't been started and all the rest of it. But my question is, when are we going to start doing that work? We can't continue to use that as an excuse. In terms of millions is what we're talking about, to be able to progress this project to construction. And I would say, Donald, this is more than just a roads project. It'll alleviate the traffic problems within Buncrana town that are there and evident 7 days a week now. But far more than that, it's going to open up swathes, acres of ground that is zoned as residential phase one that can then be developed for housing. So it's killing two birds with one stone.
As you said, there is a need for more information as to where exactly the process is. As part of that, the MD members are seeking a workshop with council officials and the Donegal Roads Design Office. And I suppose the sooner you get such a workshop, the sooner you'll get those answers, and maybe the sooner the council and the councillors will have a clearer vision of what needs to happen next.
Absolutely, Donald. And look, it's vitally important, and I would say it's going to be a case of having difficult conversations. It's essential that the council executive and that the road design team prioritise this project. After the 10T project in Letterkenny, it must be the most important road project that we have in the whole county. I really am looking forward to that meeting, and I want it to happen sooner rather than later so that we can set out a plan and a roadmap to get it to a place where all the statutory consents are in place, the CPO process has gone through, the design is done, and where we're able to go to the department and say, we are now ready, please give us the funding to be able to proceed to construction.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports, now stocking the new Donegal GA jersey at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 14 minutes to 6 o'clock. Good evening, Mark Gallagher.
Thanks, Donal. Good evening. We'll begin with Rugby Ireland. Head coach Andy Farrell has made five changes for Friday's Six Nations match against Wales. Nick Timoney has been handed his first Six Nations start, with Jack Conan also coming into the back row. Tom O'Toole replaces the injured Jeremy Loughman at loose head prop, with Ronan Kelleher in at hooker. Tag Byrne moves into the second row to partner James Ryan, while Jacob Stockdale has been given the nod to replace James Lowe on the wing. Scrum half Nathan Doak could make his debut from the bench. Moving on to soccer, College to Alia have been beaten 3-2 by Grange Community School of Donaghmede in this afternoon's FAI Schools Under-17B Boys National Cup Final for Small Schools. The Letterkenny School took the lead after 5 minutes when Nisha Kivana capitalised on a defensive mix-up to slot home the opener. It was 1-1 on 20 minutes, but College to Alia were ahead again at the interval thanks to a brilliant Colm O'Brathna effort in first half injury time. It was 2-2 early in the second period, and Elton Feeney then hit a stunning winner for the Dublin side on 58 minutes to take the title. Finn Harps have confirmed two of their under 20 players have been selected for the Republic of Ireland school squad for the upcoming Centenary Shield games. Declan Patton and Rowan McGroarty have been selected in the squad, with the first game coming next Thursday afternoon away to Wales. Well, it could be a pivotal evening for the Premier League's title race as leaders Arsenal and second place Manchester City kick off at the same time. Mikel Arteta's team hold a 5-point lead with 9 games to play and are at Brighton. Pep Guardiola's team have 10 games to play and are at home to Nottingham Forest. The experienced Spaniard insists he's concentrating on the old cliche of taking things one game at a time.
Just Nottingham Forest in my mind. People say and won't anticipate what will happen if you win 7 in a row or you lose these games. Or nothing. It's what's next, and this is only I'm concerned.
That game kicks off at 7:30, while at the same time leaders Arsenal are away to Brighton. Manager Mikel Arteta says his squad have shown they can cope with the twists and turns of a title race.
We have managed a lot of emotions the last 8 months, and deal from here to the end is going to have to do a lot of things that have nothing to do with emotion as well, to continue to be here and to hope to win what we want to win.
Elsewhere, fourth place takes on sixth with Aston Villa at home to Chelsea, and Fulham entertain West Ham at Craven Cottage. Michael Carrick leads his Manchester United side into tonight's match at Newcastle unbeaten. United will go 6 points clear of fifth place Liverpool with a win at St James's Park. That is underway from 8:15. Celtic manager Martin O'Neill says his team's never-say-die attitude could yet see them retain the Scottish Premiership title. The defending champions can go second and 5 points behind leaders Hearts with a win at Aberdeen tonight. O'Neill says 90th-minute goals at Kilmarnock and Rangers have put them right back in contention.
For us to fight back in the manner which we did should give us plenty of confidence anyway. If you're talking about late goals being scored, then Hibs scored a late goal against us, so it can actually work both ways at times. The lovely thing about the team is that they keep going right to the very, very end.
Manchester United's Harry Maguire has been handed a 15-month suspended sentence by a Greek court. The England defender was found guilty of non-serious assault, resisting arrest and attempted bribery over an incident on the island of Mykonos in August 2020. He continues to deny any wrongdoing and his lawyers plan to appeal to the Greek Supreme Court. Mikey Johnson will miss the Republic of Ireland's upcoming World Cup playoff at the Czech Republic. His club West Brom have confirmed that the winger suffered a stress fracture to his ankle against Oxford United last weekend. Evan Ferguson will almost certainly miss the match in Prague with an ankle injury, while Adam Ida is also a major doubt with a groin issue. In Gaelic games, the ATU Donegal women's Gaelic footballers are in action this evening. They play DCU in the Giles Cup Championship semi-final at the Scarvey in Buncrana. Throw in there is at 7:30. In golf, Luke Donald will captain Europe's Ryder Cup team for a third time at Adair Manor in Limerick in 2027. He joined Tony Jacklin as the only European skippers to win back-to-back tournaments after success in Rome and last year in New York. Now he's aiming to make history with 3 in a row. Finally for now, in motorsport, Alex Dunn has signed for the Alpine Academy ahead of his second season in the F2 Championship. The Offaly man, who will drive again for the Rodin Motorsport in F2 this year, says he's really happy to make the next step in his career. Dunn drove in 2 F1 practice sessions for McLaren last season, and the 20-year-old says his focus is on winning the F2 title this season. That's all your sport for today. Your next sports update will be during the 8 o'clock news tomorrow morning. Back to you, Donal.
Thank you very much indeed, Mark. Plans have emerged for a potential miniature railway in the Barnesmore Gap. Donegal Railway Heritage Museum has begun a feasibility study as part of its 2025 to 2030 strategic plan, which has just been launched this week. Museum manager Marty Gilroy says they're striving to become one of the Northwest's flagship attractions and community amenities over the coming years. It's envisaged the Barnesmore project would run along the proposed greenway, utilising a small, family-focused railway system, slightly smaller than the one currently in place at Oakfield Park outside Raphoe. Mr. Gilroy says the plan's at a very early stage.
We've recently received funding for a feasibility study into this project through the LEADER programme via DLDC. We're basically looking to build a miniature railway that would run alongside or be a kind of ancillary to the new Barnesmore Greenway project. The trailhead for that project will be done at the St. John Bosco Centre, which is just right beside our museum here. So we're hoping to have a small train that would particularly appeal to families and things like that.
Would this be similar to the one that runs at the moment at Fintown?
It would be much smaller than that, actually. So Fintown is a full-scale 3-foot gauge, as the original Donegal Railway was, and that runs an actual heritage, an actual rail car that ran on the Donegal lines. We're talking about a much smaller one that you might see in public parks and things. They're quite common in the UK, actually. There's one in Coleraine in a place called Dam Head. But they're not very common in the Republic of Ireland. So it's kind of a unique project.
How confident are you that this project will proceed, and what phases are that in terms of securing funding to actually go from a feasibility study to actually bringing the project to fruition?
Yeah, well, we're at kind of an early stage of the feasibility study at the moment. That's being carried out by Lance Feeder here in the town, the planner. We can't say one way or the other just yet. There are obviously a lot of barriers to a project like this, but we are very hopeful, and we've received a lot of well wishes from the community, and we'll hope to kind of build on that as time goes on.
And that was Marty Gilroy there. Over 90% of people with children who are renting in social housing have mould in their home. That's according to Sinn Féin, which has carried out a survey. They received almost 1,500 responses from residents in 30 local authority areas, including Donegal. The survey found 40% of tenants have been dealing with issues like mould and damp for over 5 years. The party CD Thomas Gould says people all over the country are experiencing the same problems.
So the people in Cork are having the same issues as the people in Dublin. Right, the same with people in Donegal. So, like 1,500 people, we were shocked with the response that we got. And that just outlined, like 93% of families who responded, who have children, were living with mould and conditions in the house. That's not good enough.
Meanwhile, Derry City and Strabane District Council has unanimously supported a proposal calling on the Communities Minister, Gordon Lyons, to introduce legislation requiring landlords to tackle mould and damp issues. It's after a similar motion was passed in the Stormont Assembly, calling for mould and damp to be tackled in both social and privately rented accommodations. Foyleside Councillor Sean Harkin has highlighted that last year, Northern Ireland's Housing Executive received 15,000 reports of mould and damp alone. He says Stormont mustn't waste any more time in implementing the new legislation.
After a lot of campaigning, the Stormont Assembly passed a motion last week on February 24th that was brought in by my colleague Jerry Carl, calling on the Minister to implement what would be a version of AWOB's law that was passed in Westminster. It took far too long for that to be agreed by Stormont. The Council's basically added its voice to the call for the Minister to try and implement this legislation within the current mandate of the Stormont Assembly.
Derry City Council, Derry City and Strabane District Council's Planning Committee has today given the green light for the construction of 33 new residential units on vacant lands fronting Main Street in the village of Clawdy. The approved scheme includes 16 two-storey houses, 16 on-door apartments, one wheelchair accessible bungalow, along with landscaping, open amenity space and other site works. And Enoch Burke's mother and sister have been found guilty of contempt of court. A High Court judge has ordered their immediate arrest and imprisonment. With more, here's Emily Keegan.
Martina and Amy Burke were removed from a High Court hearing involving Enoch last month after they refused to stop interrupting proceedings by shouting and roaring. Last week, they appeared before the same court where they were each given opportunities to defend their actions. Today, Judge Brian Cregan ordered the two women be jailed for 2 weeks for their behaviour. He said it had become clear the Burke family believe they are above the law, adding they are not exceptional, but they're exceptionally unable to accept what every other citizen in this country accepts every day by abiding by the law. Martina and Amy were not present in court today, and an order was made for their immediate arrest and committal to prison.
Finally, firefighters from Northland Fire Station in Derry attended a fire that's believed to have been started deliberately in the early hours of this morning. The incident was reported at 2:45 on the Leckie Road in the Brandywell area. It was subsequently dealt with by one appliance. At 3:06, one hose reel jet was used to extinguish the blaze. Dry for most with patches of drizzle, but more persistent rain will develop in the far west later this evening. Cloudy tonight with rain gradually spreading eastwards across the region. Lowest overnight temperatures 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. Moderate, occasionally fresh southerly winds. Cloudy and wet to start tomorrow with brighter sunny spells developing in the morning. Rather cold with afternoon highs of 4 to 7 degrees Celsius. That's Highland Radio News. Looking at the closing headlines for this evening, Ishke Aaron says two water supplies in West Donegal have been removed from the EPA's list of vulnerable supplies. It follows a multi-million euro investment in Lenti's Ardra and Letchermack Award. Councillor Gary Doherty says he will once again try to move a motion concerning the R236. He tried to move an emergency motion at a Lifford's Tranawler MD meeting today, but couldn't because of logistical issues arising from the remote nature of the meeting. And a US submarine has struck an Iranian warship in the Indian Ocean. It's reported 80 people were killed in the attack. We're back with news again at 7 o'clock this evening. Until then, from the news team, have a very good evening.
the obituary notices this Wednesday evening, March 4th. The death has taken place of Tommy McFadden, Clonbarra, Fulcarra. His remains will repose at his home tomorrow from 2pm until 9pm and on Friday from 11am until 9pm. Rosary nightly at 9 o'clock. House private after the rosary and on the morning of the funeral. Tommy's funeral mass will take place on Saturday afternoon at 1 o'clock in St Finian's Church, Fulcarra, with interment afterwards in the adjacent cemetery. The funeral mass can be viewed live on church webcam and on Kieran Rorty Funeral Director's Facebook page. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu to Fulcarra Cardiac First Responders, care of any family member or Kieran Rorty Funeral Director. The death has taken place in London of Therese Smith, née O'Kelly, formerly of Derry. Therese's remains will repose at her brother Declan's residence, 27 Drummond Park, Derry, from 2 o'clock until 9 o'clock tomorrow. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 20 past 9 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Mary's Church, Ardmore, followed by burial in Ardmore Cemetery. Therese's Requiem Mass can be viewed on ardmoreparish.com. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if so desired, to the Alzheimer Society, care of immediate family, or Mr. Kieran Connor, McClafferty Funeral Directors. The death has taken place of Paula Sweeney, Parkhead House, Chapel Road, Dunloe. Paula's remains are reposing at her home until rosary at 8 o'clock tonight. Funeral mass tomorrow at 12 noon in St. Corona's Church, Dunloe, with burial afterwards in Mahery Cemetery. House private, please, after the rosary tonight and before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu, if desired, to Donegal Hospice, care of any family member. The death has taken place of Patrick Jared, PG Perry Ward, 58 Lisnara Road, Donamana, Tyrone. PG is reposing at his home until 6:30 this evening. Removal afterwards to St Patrick's Church, Killinagh, arriving at 7 o'clock to repose overnight. Requiem Mass tomorrow morning at 11 o'clock, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if wished, to Parkinson's UK. Funeral mass can be viewed live on the Donaghadee Parish YouTube channel. For family information and more details regarding wakes and funerals, please go to HighlandRadio.com.